The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Bible teacher and author Beth Moore explains how fear can be the crippler of a walking, talking miracle.
I mean, well, here's what we're doing, people of God, is we're just like soaked in the internet, soaked in all of the news, soaked in all that's going on, and then we spend a split second in the scriptures. And we're wondering why we are living in trauma and anxiety and fear.
Next on Life Today.
It is a privilege to share this time with you. I'm James Robison. Betty and I count it an honor to be able to come into your home and hopefully make a meaningful divine deposit, sow some seed that bear much fruit, and really give you some answers to challenges. Beth Moore is very gifted at that. Beth says it's because she's faced so many challenges, and she found the way. And she's talking about Elisha and a widow who had tremendous need, like many do all over the world today. And the widow found the answer. Beth Moore's about to share it. Would you welcome Beth? Here she is.
Being so polite with our faith. Yes. Not too few. Yes. God, you're a big God. Yes. And I'm not looking for you to, I'm not looking for a sports car here. Mm-hmm. I want to live a life that bears much fruit to the glory of my God's faithful name. I want to have given myself. I want to pour my life out while I'm here. I don't want to look back and think, you know, what in the world? I really wish I'd have slept longer. You know, we're not going to get there and go, I should have slept in more. Now, I'm forgetting some rest, but I'm just simply saying, here we are. Here we are. Got this holy, omnipotent, willing, and able God. And we got to get to a place where we're more afraid of missing Him than we are of believing Him. Biblical fear of God doesn't keep people from asking. It blows their belief system wide open. But we get afraid. We get afraid. I want to bring you, at this point, we've got a couple of points going in our present series. We made our first point based on 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Personal desperation can jar us out of, would you tell me? Secondhand stories. Secondhand stories. You and I have been talking about the fact that God has a firsthand work He wants to do in every one of our lives. And it's miraculous. Something that your life, your background can explain, your gift mix can explain, your talents can explain, your chromosomes can explain. Now, it's unexplainable. God's just God. And He just showed up and did it. Personal desperation can jar us out of secondhand stories, too. God did not call us to fun. He called us to faith. This isn't about just, well, I'm just fine. No. We're going to be full of faith. We're going to get our faith back in our faithfulness. We're going to get our faith back in that place where we're living out there in the breathing, fresh breath of the wind of God's mouth. Number three, though, I want you to hear this one before we end this series, and this is where we'll be for this whole portion of our series. Number three, fear is the crippler of a walking, talking miracle. Fear is the crippler of a walking, talking miracle. Does anybody want to give an amen to that? Amen. To the truth. Anybody just sick of it? Yes. Anybody just sick to death of it? I want to ask you a question today on a scale of 1 to 10. And when I ask this kind of question, listen, on the other side of that screen, I want you to answer me. I wish so much I could hear you do it, but participate, get in here with us. I just want to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big an issue would you say fear and anxiety is to you? If 1 being almost none and 10 being like through the roof, it nearly ordains everything about me. It is the driving force in my life. I just wonder, what? Could somebody just show me on your hands, show me some numbers? I realize this is intimidating. I'm seeing 8, I'm seeing 7, I'm seeing 6, I'm seeing another 8. I see a lot of 8s. Oh, I knew, and I'm not going to come over and high-five you, but I'm so glad you did that. I also saw some good double palms. Here's a good 10 for you. And I'm going to tell you something. I've never lived in anybody's self besides my own, but I would tell you that it played a 10 in my life. And I don't know. Maybe it has a whole lot to do with living in so much fear as a child. I don't know exactly how to explain it. I think fear is viral in the world that we live in. It's an interesting thing. I have a relative that has a child that has been diagnosed as a genius. I mean, a little bitty child, an IQ through the roof. But let me tell you what they have had to learn from a board of psychiatrists and psychologists is that they have as much a special needs child as someone would have with a child with delayed learning, because they've got a very, very specific kind of thing they have to deal with every day. And do you know why? The driving force in this child, the thing that makes it so complicated, is that he knows so much that he is scared of everything under the sun. Well, I think, to me, it so bleeds into what has happened in our culture, because we have access to so much information. I mean, I'm just saying it's part of our culture, but I'm just going to throw this out as a metaphor. I mean, we eat constantly from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I mean, we do. It's out there. We know every piece of bad news, if we want to, all over the world. You can soak yourself in blogs and all sorts of things that are just like so sad, so horrific, so dramatically frightening that you are just paralyzed in your fear. Remember that his problem with his fear was that he knew too much? Well, we're sociological geniuses these days. It's out there in the social world. We know it. And I'm not suggesting we know less. I'm suggesting we need to know something more than all that we know out there. I mean, here's what we're doing, people of God, is we're just like soaked in the internet, soaked in all of the news, soaked in all that's going on, and then we spend a split second in the scriptures. And we're wondering why we are living in trauma and anxiety and fear. What do you know most of all? Because what you know at the deepest part of you, down at that fundamental level, that's what's going to carry you. That's what's going to carry you. Well, it was just my big thing. It was just my big thing. And it just haunted me. It was terrible, chronic as a child. My big brother one time told me that when I was a little girl, and he loved me, but he said that I was the kind of kid that you look like if you just say, boo, I would have burst out in tears. He said, you just looked on the verge. Of course, he had no idea what I'd been through. I just want to go to everybody, you know, when I was grown, get a clue. There was a reason. But so all this fear gets embedded in this life. And so God calls me to a life that I am scared to death of. I was. I'm not near as much as I was because of this testimony that I'm about to tell you. But here's what happened. About 4 years ago, it started creeping back up on me. And I mean, the Lord and I had been some places together, but all of a sudden, and I did not see it coming. It was on me before I realized what had happened, but fear just began to overtake me. What happened that I believe caused it, when I'm trying to look back at exactly what went awry that caused it to kind of come crashing down on me again, I got accused of teaching something that I have never in my life taught, nor do I believe. And it was the oddest thing because I couldn't stop it. It just got, when It just was all over the place. It was so ridiculous because there have been a lot of things I've gotten in trouble for, but at least I really did believe them and I stood for them and just went, at the end of the day, I don't know what to tell you. We don't agree. I believe that's what Scripture says. So there are other things that I've gone, you know what, you're right. I'm wrong, and I learned it and changed. But this was not one of those things. This was like, that's not true. I've never believed that. I have never taught that. And so it's not true. And so it just somehow it got me in a frame of mind where I began listening constantly to myself teach and speak. And I started second guessing everything. Did that sound like that? I wonder if that sounded like that. Did that sound like I was talking about mysticism, Eastern kind of meditation? What did that sound? I would guess everything. What did I just say? What did I just say? Well, that will just paralyze you. And so I tried to get just very slowly safer and safer. But inside, I was just miserable. And I'm not talking about criticism. Anybody that does this kind of thing, you deal with it too. Any of us that get out of the shell a little bit are criticized. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about full-on bullying. I'm talking about there are bullies out there, bullies that don't care if you, for you to just change it. They want you to quit, not just change. They want you to quit. And so, I mean, it can be hard because they're mean. And so, you know, as I begin to kind of fold in on myself and kind of have that fear come creeping on me, I came upon a year ago a scripture that dramatically changed everything for me. It was a scripture out of that small little letter of 2 John. It said this, "Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward." Well, I was sitting there, I was studying it for an event that I was about to teach, and I stared at that scripture, and I stared at that scripture, and I stared at it and stared at it and thought, Lord, I've lost something that you and I worked hard for me to gain. I had not given up all my ground, but I'd given up a few feet, and it had been, those feet had been hard fought and won through the Holy Spirit. Jesus and I have been through so much together. And it's like, all that work. Can any of you say today, I'm not where I was? Could we just own up that in our faith that, I mean, I've been at a different place. That have you lost ground in your faith? That's the question on the table. Well, I realized that I had. And let me tell you something. It so came on me, and I sat up from the table, and I thought, what in the world, Lord, what do we do? And God sent me, I was right there in the Psalms, Psalm 44, verse 5, in the NIV. I want to read it to you because it's so profound. Through you, we push back our enemies. Through your name, we trample our foes. And I realized that the enemy had pushed me back, and something came on me by the Holy Spirit to just go, push back. And I mean, and I've told this part of the story on our Wednesdays before, that I literally got up from my desk and with my hands went, move back, move back. And let me tell you, over the course of the coming months, when I tell you God gave me my courage back, and not only gave it back, but gave me something that I had never had. I want to show you something because I want to encourage somebody in their faith. I want to encourage you to turn from your fear and get back out there in your faith. 4 months later, I jotted this little page. I've whited out the middle of it because you just, don't need to read that personal part of it. But I just want you to see this for just a moment because I want you to see this little portion out of my journal. This was 4 months later, and it said, Lord, I am just amazed right now. This is not a big deal to anybody else but you and me. But I talk about what he brought me through to bring me to a place without so much fear. Here's the part I want you to see where it's underlined here. I didn't go back and do this. This is how I wrote it that day. Who is this you are making me? Who is in this body of mine? I had been such a partner with fear that it was like, who is this? Like, what happened in here? Where did it go? Well, I got to tell you the strangest thing because I want you to hear the addendum to this story. A year passes, a year of jars. It was a year of gathering jars. I watched God do so much in the supernatural realm over the last year, I cannot even confess it all to you. It was one of the most dramatic, it was the most dramatic year on my spiritual calendar in a number of years, probably since believing God. And so it was just like, whoa, I mean, this was just it. I come just a week ago to the 1 year anniversary, been exactly 1 year. I can't wait. I've been looking for it for days because I'm knowing it's coming up. I get up with Jesus. I write in my journal. I weep. And I just, I mean, it's like high five. I mean, this is just too much. Lord, Lord, I had the sweetest day with him. It's like, this is our anniversary. I mean, Lord, I cannot thank you enough. And I just was overwhelmed with tenderness. And then anxiety came upon me like a flood. And it stayed on me for 5 stinking days. I thought, what is that? When I tell you the enemy came to take it back, and he did it on my anniversary. I mean, if you don't think that was pointed, like I'm picking the day you celebrate your freedom for a fresh courage in your life, that day that you celebrate, I'm gonna try you in a way you have not been tried in a long, long time. And anxiety came on me like a flood. And I realized, and it was everything, I know now, it was everything to get me ready to bring this message to you because I learned something very, very important. If you're gonna gain ground, girlfriend and guyfriend, you better be prepared to defend it. It is not just a matter of gaining the ground and getting the ground. Are you going to stand there by faith and keep it? Yes. Let me tell you, we fought for 5 solid days. But I woke up this morning and went, it's gone again. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I mean, it was the, and then I knew because I was, amen, because I was coming to y'all. And then I thought, this is just like God. Because somebody's discouraged. They think, Beth, I took back my ground and this has happened to me again. I get it. I've been there all week long. You persevere. You fight hard for your faith. It is a gift from God to bring you into a place where you get to watch the supernatural occur.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Well, I know Betty can identify with fear. I think all of us have those battles and those struggles and what Beth talked about. And the divine enabling and help. Father, I pray for every person watching wherever they are on this great planet that you will lift them up, show them that you are the supply. You're the source, and you're able. And I pray you'll lift the load. Take away the fear, the frustration, the sense of despair or defeat. In Jesus' name. You remember, if you need someone to pray with you 24 hours a day, you got a broken heart, you got a load, you got a burden, you want somebody who cares, that you can share with, what you can call. There's the number. You feel like you need to give your life to Christ to come to know him. Someone waiting to pray with you. Betty, we are in the last week of what most of our viewers tell us is perhaps the most exciting outreach or mission endeavor that they participate in, and that's Water for Life. We need a miracle response this last week to drill 500 more water wells, many countries, desperate need. It changes everything, and we always point them to the water of life when we've given them water for life because they see the love. I want you to watch closely. You're going to be moved, and with all my heart, I pray you're moved to meaningful, life-changing, life-saving action. Watch closely.
Cambodia's history is a rich one. But 1975 brought 4 of its darkest years imaginable. Cities were emptied and innocent millions murdered as a maniacal dictator tried to reset Cambodia to what he called year zero. Families were torn apart and lives left in ruin. Recovery has not come easy. Sam Nung remembers. His whole family was killed and everything lost. Today, in this land, the suffering continues. Families are torn apart and lives left in ruin. But no longer from communism or dictatorship. It's waterborne diseases. Once again, Sam Nung risked losing his whole family, but this time to waterborne diseases. How can you forget your past when you aren't promised a future?
Well, his family taken by what was called historically the killing fields. I don't really know if we could have done anything about that. Maybe sometimes you wonder if intervention would have been possible. But this little girl, I love my little girl, he said. We love our little girls.
That never changes for a parent, you know. We love our children. We would give our lives for our children. And just to hear that man still, after a while, he still feels that loss. And I think a lot of that is because he doesn't see any hope. He doesn't have anything to reach on to grab hold of. No hope. Well, you see, if we can do the water wells, we can be part of the hope that he's looking for. He wants somebody to care that he's hurting. And his family is dying without our help. So I hope you will join with us. And let's give this man some hope for his family.
And Betty, I'm confident that I'm looking into the hearts, homes, and eyes of people all over the world who identify with very real, very legitimate hurt. I don't have to try to stir it in your heart. God put it there. And I want to thank you. You don't have any idea what it means to Betty and me to point to a need that can be met and know that we're talking to people who are anxious, who say, count me in. You say to Sam Nung, hey, we're getting you a well. I'm getting you a well. I want to get one in the village next to you. We want to save the little girls of your friends and your neighbors. I thank God for you. Betty, I'm so encouraged by our viewers. And you know the national boundaries don't limit their love. No barrier, no ocean. People just say love reaches all the way across the ocean. Here we are in the United States, and down from Canada there's an outpouring of love, and from down under in Australia, reaching up with love to say, let's put God's arms around those people. Let's give them water. And let's tell them about the water of life. So I want you to dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check. This is the last week. Listen to me. If you can give a well, I know you're running to do it. Write a check, make it to Life. The wells are costing still an average of $4,800. You may say, oh, I wish I could do that. I can't do it all, but I could give half a well and pray someone joins me, or $1,200 and pray three do. But please listen. If you can do that, do it. But remember this, most of the support comes from people who give $48 to give 10 people water, or $144 to give 30. Don't you think your gift is small when the effect is so great? Please, during this last week now, go to the phone, use your bank card like a check. You write a check, make it to Life, or go online, lifetoday.org, and you can make your gift right there. We have some very special gifts for you. This DVD series, Awaken Now Conference, the transcripts will bless you. The beautiful glass artwork, the blessing, it will bless you as you bless others. We want to say thank you. Please make that call and make the gift God put on your heart. You really are giving the greatest gift. You're giving the gift of life, and you're giving it in love.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request the Awaken Now audio series, a once-in-a-lifetime gathering of 23 anointed speakers proclaiming a powerful message for every believer in God's kingdom. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Awaken Now on both audio and video, along with a companion book containing the speaker's sermons and encouraging messages. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request our new commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I pray you will get the DVDs. It's something that many of you will be impressed to share with a large group. Churches are playing some of these messages. It's captivating. It will awaken you and others. I want to thank you for the gift. Remember, it's the last week. If there's any way you could drill a well or a part of one or whatever you can do, it's critically important that we hear from you this week. From the bottom of our heart, in behalf of so many you will help, we say thank you.
Is heaven a real place? What will our bodies look like? Will we be married? Tomorrow, Pastor Robert Jeffress answers common questions about heaven. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.